We're going to begin lesson number 18 in the study on the book of Zechariah. And lesson 18 will cover chapter 13 of Zechariah in verses 1 through 9. On your outline, you'll see that there are four main points in lesson 18 that we're going to look at. The first one is the prophecy of Israel's nation conversion in Zechariah chapter 13 and verses 1 through 6. Second of all, we'll look at the provision for Israel's cleansing in Zechariah chapter 13 verse 7. The third point we'll look at is the prelude to Israel's cleansing found in Zechariah chapter 7 through 9. And then finally, we'll close out the chapter of Zechariah 13, and we'll look at our fourth main point, the appropriation of the provision for cleansing. So let's begin. Lesson 18, chapter 13 of Zechariah. This chapter brings Israel's national conversion to a climax. There have been several aspects of that great day presented in Zechariah, as well as the other prophets. Even as God gives us four gospels to complement one another, we are given several opportunities to inspect one of the greatest events in all time. In Romans chapter 11, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, in chapter 11 of Romans, in verse number 26, Paul wrote, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So we're going to be talking about the prophecy in Zechariah of Israel's national conversion. The supreme need of the Jew throughout the Christian centuries has been cleansing and spiritual regeneration. Since they rejected and crucified their Savior, they have been a hardened people. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," and of course the "they" here in the verse is referring to the nation Israel, "for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Turning back to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 1 of Zechariah 13, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." We see, first of all, under the prophecy of Israel's nation conversion, we see the fountain of cleansing opened. A fountain in the Bible usually illustrates life and vigor. Let's look at some verses. Psalm 36 with me. In Psalm 36, in verses 9 and 10, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, in thy righteousness to the upright in heart. We see life here. For thee, for with thee is the fountain of life. How true. With Almighty God there is the fountain of life. Look at also in Proverbs, chapter 13 of Proverbs, in verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Also in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Look it with me also in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2. As we look at some examples in Scripture, how usually a fountain in the Bible usually illustrates life in vigor. Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse number 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Also in Jeremiah, we read in chapter 17, Jeremiah 17 and verse number 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. No wonder the hymn writer said, There is a fountain filled with blood. It is evident that God continues to use a fountain as a symbol of cleansing in life. Look at with me in Revelations chapter 7. The book of Revelation, chapter 7, in verse number 17. The Bible says, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then we read in Revelations chapter 21 with me, in verse number 6, Revelations 21, 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Second of all, again, we're looking at main point number one, the prophecy of Israel's nation's conversion. Second of all, we see the cleansing illustrated, going back to Zechariah chapter 13. Let's look at verses 2 through 5 together. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him, shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision, when he has prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Cleansing is followed by purging. The idols, false prophets, and unclean spirits will all be cast out. The primary problem centers around the false prophets as they are the ones who introduce the idols. And we see an example of this with Micah in Judges chapter 17. And are filled with the unclean spirits. False prophets always seem to hang on to some symbol to suggest authority. Very often it comes in the form of clothing, such as big hats and robes. In this case, it is a rough garment trying to imitate Elijah. Next, we want to look at the cleanser revealed in Zechariah chapter 13 in verse number 6. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Some commentators would have us believe that the person in verse 6 that we just read is a false prophet because the verse is a continuation of the previous verse. But to the contrary, this verse is the introduction of the cleanser, for we must remember that he is the predominant subject of the context. And we go back to verse 1 of Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The second main point we want to look at now in lesson 18 is the provision for Israel's cleansing. The provision for Israel's cleansing. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 13 in verse number 7. Zechariah 13 in verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. First of all, the provision for Israel's cleansing. First of all, the death of Messiah. We read again in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And of course, that's talking about the death of the Messiah. It says also, smite the shepherd. Again, a reference to the death of the Messiah. The Lord is the speaker, and the Messiah is the person spoken of in this verse. Let's look at 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. For he, the he here is a reference to God the Father. For he hath made him, the him is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. The reason that God the Father made God the Son sin for us, and of course God the Son knew no sin, he was sinless. The reason that God the Father did that is that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look it with me also in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2 with me. Philippians 2, verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see, first of all, as we look at the provision for Israel's cleansing, part of that provision was the death of the Messiah. Now, the second part of that provision is the deity of Messiah. Look at again in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord. Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." We read, he says, "against the man that is my fellow." Let's turn to John chapter 10, in verse number 30. We read, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one. Against the man that is my fellow." This shows the deity of the Messiah. So we see two things that are part of the provision for Israel's cleansing. First of all, the death of the Messiah. And second of all, the deity of Messiah. Now the third point that we want to look at is the prelude to Israel's cleansing. And first of all, we see that the sheep are scattered. We read that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, as part of that verse. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." The sheep shall be scattered. So the first, before they can be cleansed, we have the sheep being scattered. The sheep being the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. This is who James is writing to. In James chapter 1, verse 1, is the sheep that are scattered. He says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." We see Peter, 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." And then we read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In verses 8 through 11, that's who Peter is addressing, Jews that have been scattered abroad who have come to Jerusalem to worship. Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judah, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So that's who Peter was addressing at the day of Pentecost. His audience were Jews that have been scattered abroad, amen. These were Jews that were born in different areas of the world that were coming to now to Jerusalem to worship. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 with me. John 7 in verse number 35. Gospel of John chapter 7 verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? So we see then part of this prelude to Israel's cleansing. Before Israel can be cleansed, if the sheep have to be scattered. And of course, the sheep are scattered today. Jews are scattered to all over the world, to all different countries. Amen. Now, second of all, as we're looking at the prelude to Israel's cleansing, the faithful warned of persecution, as we turn back to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, we read, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. So we see there's persecution talked, spoken about. There's a warning of persecution. And we read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, and of course the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24, 24th chapter of Matthew, the context is the tribulation. It's not the church age. It's the tribulation. Matthew 24, in verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And of course, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking prophetically about the persecution is to come. Amen. Also in verse 19 of Matthew 24, And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. In other words, he's saying, woe, warning at those that have children. It's going to be difficult in the tribulation, amen. So we see, as we're looking at the prelude to Israel's cleansing, first the sheep are going to be scattered, the faithful warned of persecution, and then thirdly, the tribulation and the deliverance of the remnant. We read in Zechariah chapter number 13. Zechariah 13, verse 8, and the first part of verse 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Now the prophecy means exactly what it says when it tells us one third of the population of Israel will be left. This will be the remnant that will trust in the Lord and go through the fire. Again in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 in verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, privately saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the end of the world? And of course, as I said earlier, the context of Matthew 24 is the tribulation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are reminded of the three Hebrew children who did go through the fire. We read about them in Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 with me. In verse number 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And of course, we know that the reason that these three Hebrew children were thrown into this fiery furnace was because they would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. The only God that they were worshiped was the Lord God of Israel. And what's interesting here is we look at some things. What the three Hebrew children picture in type is Israel going through the tribulation period. It's going to be like a literal furnace of fire, that the torture and the tribulation that they're going to have to go through. And we see some things here. For example, again, as we see the three Hebrew children being a picture, a type of the Jews going through the tribulation as they'll be in a literal furnace of fire in the tribulation. Look at what it says in Daniel chapter 3 with me in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Isn't that interesting? 7 times more. I believe that this could refer to the 7 years, which is the period of the tribulation on this earth. It's a 7-year period. So I believe this heating of the furnace, each year it's going to be heated. Each year it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter for the Jews during the tribulation. For those now, we have to remember that Nebuchadnezzar now, who is the world leader at the time, is a picture, a type of the Antichrist. And those Jews that refuse to bow down to the Antichrist or take the mark of the beast, take the mark of the Antichrist, are going to have it going to be very hard and very difficult, going to go through severe persecution, amen. But what's interesting, just as we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will return and deliver the remnant, the Jews that were faithful, that didn't bow down to the Antichrist, just as we have the three Hebrew children that wouldn't bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, we know that during the tribulation the Lord's going to come at the second coming and save them from destruction. And what we have is a beautiful picture, a type here again with the three Hebrew children. Because look at what we see here in Daniel chapter 3 in verse number 25. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here we have the Son of God with these three Hebrew children, and he delivers them. He gets them through the furnace of fire. He doesn't keep them from going to the furnace, but while they're there, he protects them and delivers them. What a beautiful picture and type of the Jews during the tribulation, the remnant that will be saved, that wouldn't bow down to the Antichrist and take the mark of the beast. Amen. Jesus is going to come and save that remnant. He's going to deliver them from their enemies and from the Antichrist and from the devil and the false prophet. What a wonderful picture and type that we have here of the three Hebrew children as a type of Israel. Alrighty, let's look at our last point in lesson 18. Point number 4, the appropriation of the provision for cleansing. And we see this in verse number 9, the rest of verse 9 of Zechariah 13. And I will bring the third pot through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. The appropriation of the provision for cleansing. So we've seen before the cleansing, the sheep were scattered, their wand of persecution, and we see that the tribulation and the deliverance of the remnant from the tribulation, amen, when Jesus returns. Now, what do they have to do for to be cleansed? First of all, we're told in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, the remnant calls on the Lord. We just read that. And they shall call on my name. And they shall call on my name. We read in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And of course, we know in Romans chapter 10, Paul the Apostle is talking about that someday the Jews would be saved. Amen. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see that during the tribulation, the remnant of Jews that call upon his name will be saved. And of course, today in the age of grace, we know that someone is saved by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. We also read in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 with me. In verse 32. Joel 2:32, we read, the Bible declares, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we see, we're talking about the appropriation of the provision for cleansing. First, the remnant calls on the Lord. Then, second of all, the Lord hears and answers. Again, in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. He promises to hear us. Not only the Jews that call upon his name during the tribulation for deliverance, but also anyone right now who will call upon his name, who will call upon the Lord to save them from their sins, he will hear and he will save. Look at with me in Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, in verses 37 to 40. Jeremiah 32, verses 37 through 40. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. What a wonderful promise for the nation of Israel. Then lastly, we see, as we're looking at the appropriation of the provisions for cleansing, is the remnant testifies to salvation. Again, Zechariah chapter 13, in verse number 9. They shall call on my name. That's the first thing. And I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. See, we see here now, first the remnant calls on the Lord for deliverance. The Lord hears and answers their prayer. And then we see that the remnant testifies to salvation. They say, the Lord is my God. Look in Isaiah chapter 35 with me. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35 and verse number 10. Isaiah 35, 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So there we have the appropriation of the provision for cleansing. The remnant first calls on the Lord. He hears their prayer. He answers it. And then they testify of the Lord my God is my salvation. What a wonderful future. Again, for the nation of Israel. Right now, the Jews' hearts have been hardened against the Lord. As Paul wrote, right now they go around out of ignorance trying to come up with their own righteousness and have nothing to do with the righteousness of God. But that's all going to change in the future, amen. All the things that we've been reading in Zechariah has to do with the nation of Israel, not the church. Because during this period of time of tribulation and God's dealing with the Jews, the body of Christ, the Christians, all those who have believed on Christ from the day of Pentecost to the rapture of the church, will be in heaven. Will be standing before Jesus, amen, before the judgment seat of Christ for our rewards and loss of rewards. Because we know we're already saved. That won't be the question at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be the things that we've done after we were saved for Christ. And then after the tribulation is over, and Israel has, as a nation, has been converted, then we will return with the Lord. We'll be part of the Lord's army, amen. So this is all going to happen very soon. As we think about things to come, prophetic things, as we see the book of Zechariah, as we've been studying it now for a considerable period of time, we see it's a very prophetic book. It speaks about things that are going to happen in the future, primarily with Israel. And it's very soon to come. Amen. The rapture of the church. And it's only after the church is raptured out and taken out, then God will continue to pick up where he left off dealing with his chosen people, the Jews. So there we are on lesson 18. We've looked at the three main points. The prophecy and basically the what we've talked about in our lesson 18 has to do with the national conversion of Israel. We looked at the provisions for Israel's cleansing, which were the death of the Messiah and the deity of the Messiah. And then we looked at the prelude to Israel's cleansing. We looked at three things: the sheep scattered, the faithful warned of persecution, the tribulation and deliverance of the remnant. And then we saw how this provision and cleansing is to be appropriated. The remnant will first call on the Lord. He'll then hear and answer their prayer. And then the remnant, after the Lord saves them, will testify to that the Lord is their God, his their salvation. Well, that ends lesson 18 in Zechariah chapter 13. We have one more chapter to go, chapter 14, and we'll be breaking that up in two lessons, lesson 19 and 20. So when we meet again, we'll pick up in lesson 19 and we'll begin to deal with and study Zechariah chapter 14.